And I got all kinds of gadgets up here, I know. And it's going to be a little different night tonight. Always seems to be a different night here. Thank you. And I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I hope you'll excuse, I'll ask your forgiveness already tonight for two things. One is, as I'm switching things, there's going to be delays. So, you know, don't get uncomfortable with that. I'll do my best to swap some things. And also, understand the things that we're going to listen to, some of them are things, of course, that we would stand directly against. And they are for example purposes only. Okay, I'm not endorsing them. And for those who have just joined us on the radio, it's letting them know, welcome to our service. And I've heard, by the way, a little side note here, I've had several people tell me about the radio station this week, how they really love listening to the live services. And of course, one of our young ladies that's deployed, Sarai, said that she stayed up till like 1:30 to listen to the service. And that's how much she misses it, she said. And so praise the Lord for that. And so anyway, I'll be playing things tonight as I'm trying to demonstrate some things about music that I hope will, again, give you understanding. But also these are things that some of them we would never hear on our radio station. Praise the Lord. Amen. And hopefully we'll get a little bit of an understanding tonight. Some of the things are going to be pretty obvious. Other things are going to be maybe not so obvious. And I guess perhaps a little bit of my background. I can easily pick up a backbeat in a song because that's what I was trained in. I just knew it. So I know if there's a backbeat. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on. I'm going to go a different direction at first, and we're going to land here. So don't think as I begin to hover out in the by-and-by land that I'm not coming back here, okay? I'm coming back here. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Pray for me tonight. I know you all notice I got these new glasses, right? And I can't really, you know, I'm getting used to them, and I've noticed that they're trifocals. And so, you know, anybody wears bifocals or trifocals knows what that's like to when you move your head, you really get kind of disoriented. One of the hardest things I told my wife is if I go into like a store, like a Walmart, and I'm looking for her, walking down and trying to go this way and this way, you know, and I'll be like this after a little bit, you know. So, but I have noticed already tonight as I'm moving my head up and down, so, and I'll be reading some things tonight, so just excuse that, bear with it, just focus on the content, amen. Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." There's a Christian paradox right there, by the way. "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this evening. Please help me tonight, Lord. I need you to guide and direct me, and I pray that we'd get some understanding tonight, more understanding about this area of music. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. I pray I would say only the things that are pleasing to you, and those things that are said would be clear. So I trust your Spirit tonight that you'll take the Word of God, and make the application, Lord, and impress the heart. Please remove any distractions that perhaps may be in our minds tonight, things we may have to do tomorrow or later tonight, and may we set those aside for the moment and to look at your Word and some principles that would help us here in the era of music. And more so than that, may we come to a place where we have and indeed a conviction about what we believe about music, and we understand why. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now tonight we're going to continue here with this subject that we've been dealing with. I think this is the fourth message I've preached on music. And I chose this text for a reason, because we read some things in our text this evening that I believe that are very, very important. Notice we first see a command. Notice in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So we see a command, a conflict, a contrast, and then a crucifixion. I'll go back to those in a moment. Now we have to remember that this book of Galatians here was a book that was written to the churches of Galatia. If you were to turn back to chapter 1 and verse 3, you'd see that it says, in verse 2, it says, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." Now, the reason that that is important is because we must understand that this is written to saved people. It's not talking to the world. It's talking to saved people. Those that have followed the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to scriptural baptism as well. And also, they have joined themselves together to form a New Testament church. So we understand what a church is: saved, baptized, and again, voluntarily together, joined as a church. And if you remember the Apostle Paul, he planted the churches in this region here on his first missionary journey. If we read of the places of Iconium and Lystra and Derbe there in Acts chapter 13 and 14, you'd read that those are those indeed places that are considered Galatia. He also revisited those churches on his second and third missionary journeys. His attempt was to ground them in the faith, and obviously here he wrote to those churches as well. This particular epistle was a circular epistle. Notice it's to the churches. So they were to read it and then pass it along and so forth. Now, here in this passage, as I've already said, we see several things, four things that I've picked out. Notice, first of all, the command we find in verse 16. The command is to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, when you come to know Christ as your Savior, we know that the Spirit of God indwells you. He lives in you, never to leave. That's what it means, part of being saved. You have the Holy Spirit. But we are commanded as Christians to be, noticed, to walk in the Spirit, or to be filled with the Spirit, meaning that we are to be constantly led of the Holy Spirit of God. We are to be filled with Him. That means to be empty of self. That has the idea of yielding our obedience to the Spirit of God. There's a command. Notice in verse 17, then, we see a conflict. Here's a little bit of a warning, something that all of us have to deal with. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Notice there's a conflict here, and if you've been saved for any length of time, you know that that conflict is ever present on this earth. While we're here in this world, we have an old nature and a new nature, and we read that those things battle one another. There's an actual war going on between the flesh and the Spirit. Of course, the flesh is speaking of our old nature, our Adamic nature, and then the Spirit, or the Spirit of God, which indwells every believer and gives us that new nature. Now, the Apostle Paul was well familiar with this battle. As he said in Romans chapter 7 in verse 15, he said this, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." He was saying, boy, I do things that I hate. You ever been there? You know, you say, why did I do that? Here I am again dealing with this same sin. And he says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent of the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." He says, I want to do right, but it's so hard for me with this old sin nature. And so he understands this very well, and he's trying to inform these people at Galatia, these Christians at Galatia, of this battle. And let me give you a little principle here tonight. I didn't give you a whole lot on your handout, so if you want to write some things down, that's fine. But here's a good principle I think you ought to write down. The nature that you feed will be the nature that you will yield to. Did you get that? The nature that you feed, whether it be the old man or the new man, is going to be the nature that you and I yield to. If we feed the old man, in other words, if we don't read our Bible and do those things to feed the new man, but we feed the old man with that old junk, you know, that sin, and we go to the wrong places and all that, then we are going to yield to the old man. If we feed the new man, we will yield to the new man. And by the way, this is where music comes in, right here. If you feed yourself, if you feed and listen to songs that have those unnatural rhythms in them, that have those fleshly, those worldly, those carnal rhythms in them, that is going to do nothing but feed your old nature and will result in behavior that will be appropriate to that. That's what's going to happen. There's a conflict there. No, you won't go to hell if you listen to the wrong music. But I'll tell you what, you'll never have victory if you listen to the wrong music. That's why this area is so important. Then notice he gives in verses 18 to 23 a contrast. He kind of gives us almost a litmus test, so to speak, of how to find out or how to tell which one is winning in our lives. Boy, I'd like to say that the new man's winning. I'd like to say that, wouldn't you? I'd like to say that the old man is not winning. Well, here's how you test it. Just follow what is produced by that. Notice in verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are, and he lists these things. He says, manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and he goes on through that. And then in verse 22, he gives a contrast. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So notice, if you are yielding to the old man, if you are feeding the old nature, what's going to come out as fruit, so to speak, it's actually not, it's a fruit of the Spirit, it's a works of the flesh, but the works of the flesh are going to come out. And that is, notice, adulteries. In other words, adultery, you know what that is. We did the Ten Commandments, we dealt with that. But adultery and its accompanying sins of lust and unleashed desires, sexual, sensual desires, and sexual provocations, that's what adultery is. That's going to come out if you're feeding the old man. He goes on to say fornication. Again, we know that's sexual acts outside of marriage. He talks about there in verse 19, notice uncleanness. That is a moral impurity. Lasciviousness, there it is, causing others to lust after you. Idolatry, I'm not going to go through all of these. Some of them are pretty much self-explanatory. Witchcraft, and notice hatred and variance and emulations. Now we're talking about things as he goes on with wrath and strife and seditions. He's talking about things that where we'd have strife and contention and anger with people. That emulations has the idea of having a burning in you or a heat or some sort of burning jealousy for somebody. And all these things are the works of the flesh. If you're doing and I'm doing these things, if these are the things that are evident in my life, that means I am feeding my old man. He says, again, murders and drunkenness and revelings. And these are, if you look at these individually, we won't do that for time's sake, but these are the emotions that those unnatural rhythms not only show or convey, but also produce and create in you and in me if we listen to them. There was an article entitled Rock and Rowdy Concert Violence Threatens to Ruin Heavy Metal Bands. It was a man by the name of Gene Stout. From the sound of the article, he didn't sound like he was saved. I don't know, maybe he is, but it didn't sound like it. And he was a rock music critic. It was dated Sunday, December 7th, 1986, in section 1, page F1. Listen to what he says here about this music. Quote, heavy metal concerts marred by tragedy and violence have done more damage to rock and roll than a whole network of fundamental preachers and record-burning weirdos. He says, during a Judas Priest concert last May at the Tacoma Dome, drunk, rowdy fans sent rock and roll plummeting on the community popularity scale by urinating on neighborhood lawns, pelting police with ice, shoes, and bottles, turning over an unoccupied patrol car, causing $4,000 in damage, and exploding enough M80 firecrackers to launch a terrorist attack. Even more disturbing was the death of a 19-year-old boy by the name of a young man by the name of Michael Morse, who was stabbed that evening while trying to break up an argument between two other teenagers about 15 yards from the stage. Boy, it sounds like the works of the flesh, if you ask me. There it is. That is what this type of rhythm and this type of music produces. Gene Greer, in his book, A Conceptual Approach to Rock Music, Charter Publications, 1976, page 20, writes this, quote, "One of the most obvious and overlooked aspects of rock is the physical response it generates." Emphasis mine, of course. "You really can't listen to rock for any length of time without responding physically to what you hear." Now, that's the world talking, folks, and they understand that. By contrast, of course, we know that if you are yielding to the new man, notice Galatians 5:22, no more envyings and murders and strife and wrath and all those fornication and lasciviousness. Notice what's going to come out. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. Oh, I love that last one, temperance. I love them all, but the last one, speaking of self-control. That's what the fruit of the Spirit's going to do. It's going to produce self-control in you. You won't be loosening up and lightening up and, hey, man, take it easy. What's the big deal? No, you'll obey the Lord. That's what you want to do. And the Bible commands us, knowing this truth here about this battle that's going on in all of us, the Bible commands us to stay away from anything that is going to provoke us or to arouse us or to trigger the flesh that we all have. Romans 13:14 says this, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill their lusts thereof." Don't make provision. We talked about that last week. 1 Peter 2:11 says this, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war," notice, "war against the soul." Oh, we won't be victorious Christians if we don't understand this principle. Oh, we hear it so often from that loose group, you know. What's the big deal, you know? Well, look at the fruit that's produced out there. Will you see it? We just watch the standards of their life. Do they produce godly character and holiness and righteousness and all those things that are supposed to reflect the one whom we believe in? You know, the way to get the victory, notice Galatians 5:24. Notice the victory here. How do we get this victory? Here it is, the crucifixion. "They that are Christ," notice, "have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." How do we get the victory? Crucify the flesh. Let me ask you something. How do you stop? How do you kill something? Well, stop feeding it. Right? You stop feeding it, it's going to die. You stop feeding the flesh, guess what's going to happen? It's going to die. And we'll get victory over it. You know what I mean by that? Now remember, spiritual songs, songs that have non-carnal music, is a wonderful way to minister to the new man, a wonderful way to minister to your spirit. While on the other hand, that carnal music, that music with that unnatural beat, what is it doing? It's pounding and it's warring against our soul. And we must understand that. Now, tonight I want to spend some time, all that to say this. I want to spend some time, and I still have more other things to say before we get to this stuff. I want to spend some time dealing with the subject of walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit and recognizing these unnatural rhythms. Let's talk, first of all, number one, I want you to write this down. Let's talk about the source of unnatural rhythms. The source. Now, what I'm about to say is not to bash any culture. It's not to bash any people. It's not to point a finger at anybody. Because we're all sinners, and we all need Jesus Christ to save us. But what I'm trying to show us is, how did these unnatural rhythms make their way into our churches? How did it happen? Well, let's talk about that. Now, we know that the ultimate source of this rhythm is Satan. I hope you understand that. And we know that the devil is opposed to anything that God ordains. He's against it. We read in the Word of God that he hinders the gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that he opposes God's work, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He's trying, understand, he's trying to disengage the saints. He's trying to stop you from serving the God. He's trying to get you to serve him, amen? That's what he does. And he is subtle, we know, in Genesis 3:1. He is deceitful in Ephesians 6:11. He comes as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians 11:14. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour in 1 Peter 5:8. And we as believers are commanded to resist his temptations, James 4:7, by submitting to God. We are to watch for his subtleties. We need to be a discerning people. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant, according to 1 Peter 5:8. But the question is, how did he get these unnatural beats into our churches? You know, although many people attribute the beginnings of rock and roll music and those unnatural beats that accompany it to somewhere around the early 50s, its actual roots go much further back than that. And we know the origin, again, is Satan. But really, unnatural rhythms, those rhythms that we hear in rock and roll, that we'll hear, I hope, in a little bit, they find their roots in the pagan heathen religions. That's where they come from. Now, remember, throughout the Bible, we see that there is a music that is associated with believers, a new song, and then there's a music associated with lost people. And that is that old song. Now, here's a little bit of speculation on my part, so if you don't like this, just tune it out for a moment. But we read in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21 that Jubal was the father of those that handled the harp and the organ. Now, the Bible does not tell us of what kind of rhythms he used. I understand that. But we do know something about Jubal, that he was a descendant of Cain. He was a descendant of the murderer. And we know that Cain was an unbeliever. And I don't believe that it's too far of a stretch to say that Jubal probably did not play music according to God's fundamentals. Now, if you don't agree with that, that's fine. Again, that's assuming some things, and that is arguable. But we do find these unnatural rhythms prevalent in the pagan heathen tribes of Africa, tribes that practice witchcraft, tribes that practice voodoo. Now, we know there were believers in Africa as well, you know, and different ones over the Ethiopian eunuch, different ones. But there were many pagan tribes there that, again, practiced magic and, again, voodoo. They had ancestor worship. They believed in polytheism, all kinds of different things. And music was very, very important to those pagan tribes. It seems that every facet of their life was really set to music. And foundational to their music was rhythm. And particularly, again, for those that were heathen and witchcraft and voodoo practicers, particularly unnatural rhythms. Now, these rhythms were used, they were pulsating rhythms. They were very, very strong rhythms. They were very, very constant rhythms, you know. That type of thing. Pulsating, rhythmic. Y'all gonna laugh now, aren't you? That type of thing. You're gonna hear some things tonight. I'll do my best to keep it as brief as possible. I don't want you all to start grooving, you know? But they were played, by the way, with diverse syncopation. Now, syncopation is this: any rhythm that puts an emphasis on a beat or a subdivision of a beat that is not usually emphasized. So syncopation, again, there is ways you can syncopate okay, but there is wrong syncopation that we're going to talk about tonight. I had a little thing that showed that. Maybe I'll show that a little bit later about syncopation. But they had many percussive instruments that were played, and this strong musical heritage that these tribes had, it went with them everywhere that they went. Now, in the 17th and 18th centuries in America, many slaves that were wrongly brought to America, they had their roots in this paganism, in this voodoo, and in this witchcraft. And they would come to America, and what they would do is they would find their emotional release in singing. That's what they did. And singing was something that their owners did allow them to do. And so as men labored, as they worked and so forth, they would sing work songs. As they talked about their troubles and their problems, that's how blues emerge, you know. Nobody knows, you know, that type of thing, the trouble. Just that type of song and so forth. Now, in much of the South, at least east of the Mississippi River, drums were actually banned at this particular time. So what they did was they made other percussive instruments percussion instruments or devices out of whatever materials that they could find. And they were masters, I should say, at improvisation. And what they did many times was they heard hymns being sung, and they would take those hymns and they would turn them, or use their rhythms and different things, and take them and turn them in what we would refer to as spirituals. Now, many people in America became attracted to this style, and they began to imitate this style in the early part of the 19th century. I thought this was interesting. Listen to this. Following the Louisiana Purchase in 1803, New Orleans particularly was a very, very lenient place. Foreigners coming in from all over the world. And drums were not banned there, and they began to practice these heathen religions in New Orleans, and they actually practiced voodoo as a religion. They began to form bands, and out of that came the blues bands and the jazz bands and all those things. All of them, or many of them, the ones I'm describing anyway, had those unnatural beats in them. Now, something else is happening as time progresses here in America. About the 1940s, what happened was a new type of culture began to emerge in America. It was the culture of the teenager. Never before was that term used early on, but suddenly this word teenager came into being, and it was a culture that was built around rebellion. That was the idea. And of course, musicians, what they began to do with this, the teenager movement and the rebellion movement, musicians and white musicians began to take the elements of jazz and the elements of boogie-woogie and blues and all those different things, and they formed a new kind of music. And this music's name was derived from a combination of two words that was used long ago in folklore called rock and roll. Now, that was a sexual metaphor. That's what it was. Listen to this. Beatrice Landeck, in the book Echoes of Africa in Folk Songs of the Americas, page 13, says this, quote, "Rock and roll became the most controversial popular music ever to have hit this country." It hit us. Listen to this. Alan Freed, some of you may know this. I knew this story before. And because of my background, of course, Alan Freed was a Cleveland disc jockey. And he was one of the first to play rock and roll over the air. One of the first ones. And that's what he called it. He called it rock and roll. Now, he borrowed this phrase from the ghetto community, which used that phrase to describe illicit sex. The prostitutes of Prospect Street in Cleveland used to call their business rock and roll. That's what they called it, and the name stuck. Now, rock and roll, when it first started to emerge here, was played almost solely by white musicians. Listen to this. Dan and Steve Peters, in their book, Why Knock Rock, page 13, says this. The music was sensual and rhythmic, steeped in rebellion. Interesting, isn't it? You see how this whole thing is kind of gelling together here now? World Book Encyclopedia, when it's talking about rock and roll, when it defines rock and roll, it says this. It says it has a strong beat with offbeat accents and repeated harmonic patterns. You see, the rock and roll beat itself. Now, get this straight, because I know when I say rock and roll, everybody's thinking of something in their mind. Some of you may be thinking of what you understand to be heavy metal or something else, and we're going to listen to it. But there's a particular beat in there that at times can be subtle. But it's there. And so we want to be able to recognize it, because that beat in itself, that unnatural beat, is a beat of rebellion. And the truth of the matter is that we have become desensitized to it. I'm glad I got one amen there. I think I got two. And I paid my wife for that one. The other one was free. So amen. Haven't we? We sure have. And what's happened recently, when I say recently, I'm talking about in respect to the whole thing I'm talking about as far as the time frame, is that this beat has been married to Christian words and labeled a style called contemporary Christian music. And again, the word contemporary is not a bad word. It really isn't. It simply means living at the same time is what it means, or our current day. But they call this thing, and this is the style they call it, contemporary Christian music, or they call it even Christian rock. Now, that's kind of funny if you think about it, Christian rock. I mean, we hear things like Christian rock or Christian rap or Christian jazz. I remember when I was young, and I used to go to the mall. I was a lost young boy, and I liked music, and I went to the Granite Run Mall, and I remember they had, I forget the name of the store, but it was a record store in there, records. But anyway, it was a record store, and you'd walk in, and you'd see in the store, you know, jazz and pop and top 40 and country, and rap wasn't real big then. I don't remember that. It may have been there. You know, heavy metal, blah, 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 all the way down, and so forth, and that was the world's thing, you know, and all that. And it's funny because you can go into a Christian, so-called Christian bookstore today that has music, and you see the same thing. You see rock and jazz and rap and pop and all this stuff, and I'm thinking that's ridiculous. That's like saying Christian rock is like saying Christian beer. It's the same thing. Or Christian marijuana. Hey, you want to smoke some Christian marijuana? What do you mean Christian marijuana? Christian rock. They're opposites. But here's the statement I want you to listen to. Many who reject the so-called CCM are using this same unnatural beat in their music and in their churches. We don't listen to CCM, but they call it something else. And that same unnatural beat is there. This is where we need to be careful. Because again, what's it doing? It's sending a dual message. It's sending words that may be fine with a message of rebellion, a message of fleshliness going against one another. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to start listening to the beat. You're going to start liking it. We must walk in the Spirit. The source of unnatural rhythm. That's how they got into our churches, folks, right there. That's how it happened. Right there. Number two, quickly, the sound of unnatural rhythms. Now, we're going to want to listen to some stuff. Now, we talked about ways that we can detect these rhythms last week. I believe it was last week. How do you detect these unnatural rhythms? Again, carnal music we're talking about. Not the words. Forget the words for tonight. We're not talking about the words. We're talking about the music. Again, remember, rhythm is not wrong, but there are wrong rhythms. Just because a song has a rhythm doesn't mean it's wrong, but there are rhythms that are wrong, and so we're going to see them. Now, we said last week there's two ways. We said, first of all, listen with your bodies, right? And I'm not going to go through all that again, but ask yourself, how does it make you move when you hear that song? Again, the test your torso, right, said that. Does it make you thrust your head, or does it make you move your torso, your midsection, your hips? And if you were to, overemphasize or exaggerate that movement, see what it looks like, okay? And ask yourself, would Christ be happy with it? But then we talked about also listening with your ears. Now, we said natural rhythms. There's two rhythms. Again, there's natural rhythms, and then there are unnatural rhythms. We're going to listen to some in a moment. Now, again, a simple natural rhythm is going to do this. It's going to sound organized. It's going to sound clean. It's going to sound orderly, predictable. It's going to support the melody. As a matter of fact, it'll get lost in the melody because it is the melody in a sense. And so this is how God's rhythms are. They're balanced just like He is. They're regular. They're recurring, like the ticking of a clock or the waves of the ocean, the same type of way. And remember, some examples of a natural rhythm would be things like a waltz, right? We said 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And you could think of all the songs in our hymn book that are three, four time. Of course, Amazing Grace, how sweet to the 1, 2. See, there it is. Natural rhythm. I come to the garden alone. Same thing. 1, 2, 3. Again, that, or a march, right? A march. 1, 2, 1, 2. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is. It makes you want to march, doesn't it? You know, I want you to sound the trumpet. You know, that's because it has that. It has that emotion that it's portraying there. It's orderly. It's God's music. Then there's those unnatural rhythms. Again, those are unrelated to the melody, either by repetition. or by dominance, it does not support the melody. It goes against the melody. I gave you some typical unnatural beats. Again, they accent what we would call the offbeat or the 2 and 4 beat. And I gave you some, like I said, what was it, a backbeat, regular backbeat. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's a backbeat, right? Unnatural. It goes against it. Here's another one. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Again, unnatural rhythm. How about this one? 1, 2, and 3, 4. 1, 2, and 3, 4. Unnatural. 1, 2, and 3, 4. There it is, okay? Or 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. That's it. I know it's going to happen. Last time I did that, everybody smiled. I know what you're all thinking. Or another one is 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2. That's actually a breakbeat, backbeat and breakbeat. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2. Now, let's talk about some examples. Would you like to hear some? Maybe it'll help you. Sure you would. You're going to hear them anyway. All right, let's take, now, honestly, the good ones, I just picked some things that we had that I knew were good. And that are just nice things. I mean, here's one, a guy that does a great job, and I can't pronounce his name. It's called Use Me, Lord. Tell me his name. Kevin Anafuku, right? Something like that? Okay. You heard the last one. So I'm just going to play it. And what I think I have it, this one in, right? Be careful. I don't know how loud it is, all right? So I'm just going to play a song, and let's just listen to it.
Sing unto the Lord, to right? God our voices raise. Let us in our most joyful songs the Lord our Savior praise. Before God's
right?
presence
okay.
let us
Enough.
Come with
now
praise.
Now that's a lively song. It's a nice song. Has rhythm, has life to it. Some people say, maybe you want those dead songs in our church. There's plenty of songs out there with wonderful rhythms that are right and are lively, and boy, they're nice, and they're all over. You just find them. They're not that hard to find. You just got to look, though. I know today we're getting a lot of stuff that's inundated with all kinds of stuff. Here's another one. This is actually Beth Horton Bernard, Joy Overflowing. Okay, this is a nice one, too. And maybe I told you to forgive the delay.
Worship the King. Worship the King. Come, let us worship Him. Come, let us worship Him. Come, let us worship the King.
Okay, let's play it on. I want you to sink in a little bit of what a right rhythm is. Okay, we'll stop there. Was that me or you? That was me? Okay, I didn't touch a thing. So. Okay. All right, now, do you get it? I mean, do I need to play it more, or is that all right? You okay with that? You understand it, right? Okay. Let's take one now. Let's go. We'll do some bad ones. Now, first, we're going to do some obvious bad ones, okay? These you should have no problem because it's very, very evident that these, I hope so. Anyway, very, very evident that they're bad, okay? Let me wait till this loads up. Now, what this is it's like an advertisement for some new releases. So you're going to hear about 3 or 4 in a row, okay? But just listen to them.
And now, the latest releases from Daywind's contemporary
words, okay?
Series, Soundtracks.
But I need you to love me.
I need you to love me, as recorded by Barlow Girl.
Beat my heart from you. This
You're drawn into the beat, aren't you? Right, here we go. There's another one.
The praise and worship classic, Lord, reign in me.
See it? There's a backbeat. Cool. It's evident because the drums are there. Right? A couple different beats here. There's another one coming up. A little bit different.
In Me is made popular by Casting Crowns.
A little different, but it's there. It's a backbeat. The wrong beat. Don't hear it, right?
Through it all, as recorded by Sam.
Don't you think it's easy to figure that out? Now, we're not even getting into the way the vocalist is doing all their stuff, too. There's more to it than just the music. Even if the words are right, the vocalist can, you know.
Tears of the Saints is made popular by Leland.
That sounds just stuff I used to. Hey, when I was lost, you know? Okay, that's enough of that. Before you all start liking it. But it does. It draws your flesh in, doesn't it? Do you feel holy after listening to that? You feel like going to jam, you know? Okay, moving, you know, and all that. Okay, there's one. Now, I think those were pretty obvious. Now, here's another one. Let me get it online here. Well, I'll do that one in a minute. Let's see. This is this one here. Let's go to one that's a little bit not quite as obvious, okay? And what's going to happen in this song, and I'm going to have to switch this here. Why don't I do this? I'm going to show you what syncopation is. And again, this is kind of a different way of finishing out the message. Here's a melody without syncopation, okay? Just listen to it. Oh, you know what? I have to. Turn the volume down this, Jared, because when I plug it in, I don't want it to. Is that it? Okay, let's do it again. That's me. Here's melody without syncopation. It's a rhythm, but not syncopation. That's okay. Okay, same melody now. See how it's orderly? Bum, 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 bum. Now watch this. Same exact tune, but with syncopation. Wrong syncopation. Right, you want to start doing this, don't you? Total different feel. Same exact melody. Just a wrong beat added to it. You see? Total different feel of the song. It makes you respond differently, doesn't it? How many say it makes you respond differently? Okay, good. All right, now, here's one that perhaps is a little bit harder, but what's going to happen, I'll tell you the little story here. When I got saved, you know the story, I played guitar for years, and I was saved, I was excited about the things of God. I wanted to use my guitar for God, I thought, you know, and I didn't know any better. And so I had an acoustic, you know, my green acoustic, and I had other stuff, and they wanted me to sing for this youth rally they had, and I sung for it. And I actually sung this song playing the acoustic. You're going to hear, okay? And, you know, looking back on it, I wish I'd never sung it. But I didn't know any better. But what happened in this particular song you're going to hear, the backbeat, the unnatural rhythm is going to be buried. But through the song, it's going to come out. It's there. It's just because it's no pounding drums like you heard in the other ones, somebody said, oh, that's okay. It's not okay. Let me show you. I think. I'm going to try to show you.
Anybody to work together. And then their bass, Buddy Lyles, joined them in 1972, and most recently, their young tenor, Greg Cook.
I make mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh.
Right? It's there. There is a wrong beat in the song.
But
I don't hear it. It's the structure of the song. It's going to get bigger. You'll hear it in a second. Watch, I'm going to move it up a little bit so you don't get into it too much. It's going to build. I'll let it go then. Move it up a little bit. But here, listen how it's building and building. That is such a flesh appealing song, isn't it? Tell me what he's saying. You don't know a whole lot. Maybe a couple words here and there. Where's the message? It's buried in the rhythm. Just to show you what I'm looking at. All people kind of, you know, getting into it. It's a video. And here it comes. Here it comes. See it? What was buried, it was still there. It was just as wrong back there as it was here. It's just what people say, so I don't hear the drums, so it's okay. No. It's structured wrong. It's a wrong structure of a song. Here we go now. Does it appeal to the flesh? Certainly. Does it minister spiritually? No. We can do better than that. And I think we ought to do better than that. Now, I'll give you one more, and then we'll be done. And then I'm going to say, I actually have one little quick statement I want to make. But here's another one. You know the song? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from... You know, slight tweaks in a song can really make it change the whole rhythm of the song, the whole rhythm pattern. Let's see. Number six. Okay. Just a slight tweak in this song. Now you may not notice this one, but I believe it's wrong. I do. Is it on? Might be this. It's playing up here.
And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
A slight tweak in the song changes the rhythm. Now, we didn't hear that very well because of some technical difficulty. It's not going to get much different than that. There's not going to be any drums coming in on this one. But there's that pulsating. The emphasis of music, the instruments are almost acting as percussive and driving and pulsating. I mean, I could plus that stuff. Just a slight change in what the way she's singing makes it into a wrong song. How many hear it? Do you hear it? Good. You know, it's pulsing. Do you hear it? Now, we don't sing it that way, right? Right? We sing it even. That's even. So a slight change. One more and we're done. And go back to one that's easy and we're done. Try it here. I think this is it. This is a Christian song, supposedly. It's going to come in, so get ready. All right. You can recognize that one, right? Easy. Okay. All right. One last thing. We're done here. Okay. One last thing. Let's talk about the seriousness of this, of an unnatural rhythms. Write that down. The question is, what are you going to do with this? Now, what are you going to do with it? The problem is this is such an emotional subject. It's about what we like. It's something that appeals to the flesh. But wouldn't you think that the idea would be if this is in question, Paul said, if meat make my brother to offend, I won't eat any meat. There's nothing wrong with eating meat. But he knew if there was something there, and we ought to also have the attitude of, if I'm not sure, let's do something better. There's plenty out there. It's not like you can't find good music. You can find good music. The question is, do you want to find good music? Would you rather play safe and stand before the Lord, or just say, well, I like it, and stand before the Lord? I would rather play it safe. And I want to be as healthy spiritually as I can possibly be. And you know what? Music, although I like music, I spent years listening to a lot of it, it's really not as important to me, and it shouldn't be to you, as our walk with God. If God told me not to listen to another music for the rest of my life, I should be okay. I won't listen to one piece of music the rest of my life, if that's what you want. And that ought to be our attitude. And so the question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to ask God to give you that discernment? You will find, if you start getting some good CDs, good things, and I can help you, Brother Holy can help you, others can help you, and listen to them, it'll become easier to recognize the ones that are wrong. Because it jumps off the page at you. I mean, it jumps out of the speaker like, there it is, there's that backbeat, that unnatural beat, there it is, and you can tell and you can see it. The question is, do you want to do it? I want to guard this place as much as we can from this contemporary music. That's why every piece of music that comes in has to fit certain criteria. Every piece that Brother Holding suggests or plays or whatever, does with the choir, and he's got a great stand on music, so he knows this. He knows what he's talking about, and so I'm so comfortable with that. But it has to meet the test, because I want God to do a great work through this place and in our hearts. So why not choose the best, right? Why choose the junk? Let's choose the best and let it minister to our hearts. Let's pray that we can really, really understand this idea of unnatural rhythms and implement in our lives. Amen? All right, let's pray together.